What a wonderful event, and so precious in many ways to be here and to have the theme of the Good Shepherd and to hear once again the Cathedral Choir's rendition of Bobby McFerrin's the 23rd Psalm. Though the words aren't printed in your bulletin, you should Google it and see what he did with this. It was dedicated to his mother, so you'll perhaps enjoy that. Many, many years ago, there was a television program in the United States called Candid Camera. A similar program in Canada was called Just for Laughs. Maybe some of you remember it. The premise of both of these shows was to create surprising situations and then with a hidden camera, it's a little creepy, isn't it? But with a hidden camera, to record people's words and reactions to these surprising situations. In one episode, a fictitious vocational counselor meets with a series of young people ostensibly to share the results of a whole battery of vocational tests with them, along with his recommendation for the exact career that young person was suited for based on the test results. In one vignette, a very earnest young man sits across from this fictitious vocational counselor, who he thinks is real, of course, and hears these words: "After going through all your test results, the job I believe you should pursue after you finish your schooling is to be a shepherd." The expression on the young man's face was a combination of shock, disbelief, and disappointment. This was then followed by uncomfortable laughter and then more shock and disbelief. The young man kept looking around and saying, "A shepherd? Are you sure? A shepherd?" And who could blame him for this reaction? For who in their right mind would ever imagine being suited for and becoming a shepherd, especially these days? As I mentioned, our readings for today are the readings from tomorrow's celebration of what many call Good Shepherd Sunday in the church calendar. In our reading from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus using the image of the Good Shepherd in describing himself as the one who embodies a God who knows us, who will not desert us, a God who will, if necessary, will pour out God's very life to secure us. This, of course, is a bit of a difficult image because most of us have never been shepherds, do not want to be shepherds, or are the least bit conversant with what being a shepherd is all about. And many preachers online struggle with this, and is it relevant today? You know, much angst is spent on this. So perhaps a little background is in order. Sheep and shepherds are mentioned many, many, many times in Scripture. First and foremost, this is because sheep, and therefore shepherds, were central to the economic life of ancient people. I was trying to think what an equivalent would be today. But shepherding and sheep was right at the heart of ancient people. Shepherds typically tended flocks of sheep and goats together, and goats, by the way, are much more able to care for themselves than sheep. They can navigate difficult places. Sheep, not so well equipped. But they tended flocks of sheep and goats together, typically owned by other people. So think about what we just heard from the Gospel of John. This shepherd that Jesus is saying he is the owner of the sheep. Very different. But typically they were owned by other people, and therefore the shepherds were responsible for leading the sheep to food and water, retrieving any sheep who wandered away from the flock, and for guarding them from the very real dangers they encountered as they sought and moved around seeking places to graze. Shepherds did their jobs with very few tools. They were traveling all the time, so they had to travel light. They slept out in the open with their flocks, as we know from Luke's gospel at Christmas. And all in all, think about it, they lived gritty, grimy, dirty lives as they did their work. They were not be cleaned up and as beautiful as many of you are this morning. But the centrality of sheep and shepherds to the economy of ancient peoples was not the only reason sheep and shepherds were so frequently mentioned in Scripture. The image of shepherd and sheep became a central way to talk about leadership. And this was often cast in terms of good leadership and bad leadership. Good shepherds and good leaders had relationships with their sheep and those who led them, in some cases knowing each individual sheep by name. Beautiful, really. Bad shepherds and bad leaders, Scripture would say, did not have a relationship with the sheep. It was just a job that they did. Good shepherds and good leaders knew how to feed and nurture those sheep or those people entrusted to them. They knew where to find the food. The leaders knew how to nurture the people. Bad shepherds and bad leaders did not attend to feeding their flocks or nurturing their people. You see the contrast. Good leaders and good shepherds lean into the danger they encounter on account of their jobs, because to do otherwise would be to undermine their relationship with those who'd been entrusted to them. Bad shepherds and bad leaders, on the other hand, retreat or disappear when danger comes, seeking to save their own skins. And so it was out of this experience of sheep and shepherds and out of these ways of understanding leadership that Israel, and then later Jesus, came to the image of the Good Shepherd as a way to describe God. It makes a lot of sense. God, they would say, is like a good shepherd, the one who knows us by name, the one who accompanies us wherever we wander, the one who guides us to the things that feed us, the one who comes after us when we are lost, the one who in Christ has come between us and all that wants to deprive us of our very lives, the one who indeed gives up his life that we may have life. And you hear this throughout the readings for this morning. And so to return for a moment to that candid camera vignette, though you and I, like that unsuspecting young man, would not necessarily be delighted to be told that we were cut out for and should consider becoming a shepherd, Scripture tells us that God apparently wanted and continues to want that very job. God wanted and continue to want that very job of being a shepherd. And today, a day of confirmations, receptions, and reaffirmation, God invites us all to consider and to reconsider that the job of a shepherd might actually belong to us as well. Think about it. In a few moments, we and all our candidates will say yes in response to some pretty serious questions. They are, for instance, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor the way that you would love yourself? Owning your neighbor in the way that you would own yourself. Owning your neighbor's needs the way that you would own your own. That's one question. Another is, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Will you do what it takes to respect the dignity of every human being? And third, will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth in all that you do and say? Saying yes to questions like this and then living out that yes are the ways that we get to enact God the Good Shepherd, in this case as Anglican Christians. For at the heart of saying yes to these questions is the assumption that the world and its people are our relations, that all people are our own family members, and that the earth itself is a member of our family. In the context of relationship, then, we're drawn to treat our neighbors as ourselves. We're drawn to work for justice and peace. We're drawn to respect the dignity of every human being, and we're drawn to nurture and protect the earth itself. We're drawn to pour out our lives for the sake of others. In other words, out of a sense of relationship, we can't help but take on some of the ways that good shepherds relate to and touch the world. Touch the world. But that's not all. For along with this, we, you and I, can expect not just to touch the world, but to get our hands into things and to get our hands dirty in the work. The same way that ancient shepherds did as they tended their flocks, as they led their flocks to water and to food, and as they protected them from danger. Because remember I said they lived dirty, grimy, gritty lives. So if you look at the front cover of your bulletin, I want to, it's just so apropos. And I've got a black and white of it. I don't have the color. Let me have a look, John Stevens. I don't know that it shows up even as much as I want it to. So on the front cover of your bulletin today, and actually we had some discussion about should we kind of make it even more beautiful, you know, like airbrush it. But on the front of that cover, you'll find a picture of the hands of two young people banding a bird in the context of Salal and Cedar's Sacred Earth Camp. You may have heard of it, you may not. In that camp, indigenous, settler, and immigrant young people learn about and practice the stewardship of the earth and practice advocacy skills for the same, advocating for that. If you look, at least on the original, very, very carefully at this photo, what you will see is that there's dirt under the fingernails of one of those hands. It looks like a shadow on yours, but it's actually dirt. This is the dirt, the grit, and the grime that are the marks of Christians who get their hands into real care of others and, of course, into the real care for the earth. This is the dirt, the grit, and the grime of what it means to be a good shepherd in the world. And so today, whether you're one of those being confirmed or received or who are reaffirming their baptismal vows, whether you're a presenter or whether you're here as a witness and supporter for others at this event, know this. The God we trust in is the one who calls us by name, who actively works to guide us toward that which feeds us, who comes after us when we were lost, and who pours out God's very life on our behalf. That's the God we say we trust in. But all of these things, my friends, are given to us for a reason. We are to take these with us into the world and become these very things for the sake of others. And in doing these things, we are to get our hands into it. For this is what it looks like to care for the people and the things with whom we are in relationship.